He was on the pod.
Yeah, he was on the pod.
We spent a weekend together. What are you talking about? We're brothers.
This is Jamie Hudson.
This is TJ Hushmanzada.
And I'm going to let y'all know something.
Duke sucks and Duke will always suck.
You're listening to.
It just makes sense.
It just makes sense.
We are sports. We are nostalgia. We are pop culture. And we're funny sometimes.
I think overall we're just a good time.
They thought we couldn't do it. But guess what?
We're back.
Podcasts are free and we can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
We never knew what we were doing in the first place.
Yeah, that is a good point.
He's getting weird.
Hot dog!
Great to keep acquaintances with jail people.
It's called networking.
It's called networking, people.
Talk about unrelatable.
That's what pisses me off about this whole thing, is like him acting oblivious. I don't know how I tripped and fell into this position.
Right, yeah.
It's like, dude, you did this. Stop acting like you didn't have a hand, like you didn't manipulate your way back into this position. It's obvious.
And who are we
to call people out on losing bets, okay? We suck at betting.
And remember, don't be afraid to fade yourself.
No, girls, laugh.
Braxton's, Lindsay, oh, see, Braxton said your bra was hanging at the door. You thought about playing with it, and I said, that's weird.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I said I was going to put it on his earmuffs, but then I said that would be weird.
So that would be weird, yeah. You just want to smell it.
Why?
He did say sniff.
No, yeah, I didn't.
He spelled out sniff.
Pervert. He said, you want to sniff it? And I said, how does putting something on your ears mean you want to sniff it?
Strong sense of smell.
I know. They talk about putting stuff behind your ears so you can smell things all the time.
That's where you apply cologne.
That's where you put cologne. You're trying to put my wife's...
Yeah, dude.
Breast musk behind your
ears. You made me drink her breast milk.
I did do that. So, yeah, I'm in.
This is one of those times where you have to just be.
You wanted me to suck on your wife's tit.
I did not say.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I just wanted you to drink her tit.
Yes, you did.
You're trying to sell your wife to do a lot of things.
Are you trying to? I mean, do you want to?
What? How much are you talking about?
You guys are getting weird.
I'm not offering my wife.
You're going to speak it into existence. What you're going to do? You wanted me to suck on her tits. Like, well, at this point, it sounds like you want to.
I don't.
You guys are getting really weird with like.
Stuff. He's getting weird.
Whatever. I guess I am getting weird after I was sending you pictures of your own sister.
That was weird.
Was that really weird?
It was weird, especially because
one
of those photos was like from 2011.
Yeah, and that's like the fifth profile picture of her. It's not like I went to 2011. Wait,
how old does that make her?
What?
How old? Like how old? The photos he was looking at, how old was your sister then?
Over 18.
Yeah.
Here's what would make it weird. Answer the question honestly. Did you play with yourself while you were doing a deep dive on the photos?
Yes.
No, I was taking a shit.
He did.
Which is prime time to jerk it.
He
was stimulating his asshole.
Oh my god.
You were brolapsing, dude. Dude.
He was.
Beat the shit I suppose
out
that
of you.
Is.
Hey, bleep
strange.
The name, but will beat the shit out of you.
Would he?
Yeah.
Actually?
Yeah.
Oh damn.
He wears cutoffs.
I was just surprised that they had been together for that long and those two people were the same.
Were they high school sweethearts?
No.
What were they then?
They got together like right out of high school.
Oh, okay.
That counts.
They very much look like they're from Laguna Beach, the TV show.
Well, that was pretty popular.
Yeah, that does. Well, I guess it's not that far off to look like a Utah couple, but they definitely look like a California couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Utah is trying to be California.
They're SoCal couple.
It was innocent, and then as soon as I sent it, I realized that it was probably pretty creepy.
It was a little weird.
She was a suggested friend, and then I looked, and then I was like, okay, like, she has these pictures with the same guy all the way back. It was like this, it's a digital photo album. And I was saying, I can't believe that these two people are the same. It's not like I scrolled through thousands of photos.
Don't bury him.
Things.
Just do it back. Look up Jill.
Yeah, look up my cousin and all those people. Weirdo.
I'm good.
Yeah. If you've creeped on your friend's hot sister at official IGNS.
No, we don't want them. I don't want them fucking tweets from comments from weird ass people.
We're all creepers.
I don't even know what Miguel's sister looks like. I don't know her name. I don't know anything.
Yeah, she's a bit of a
sister's
mystery.
Sister's better looking than me and that the whole
I'm not,
family.
That's not my concern. I don't know Miguel's family at all.
Yeah. It's a mystery.
It's because you're a felon.
Yeah, that's true.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'll show you my sister.
I don't want to see her.
It's basically, never mind, I was going to say that it's basically Miguel on Halloween when he dressed up as a Hooters girl, because that would be really insulting, but there I go saying it, so we'll just walk it back without actually saying it.
Except you did.
It's not a good start to the podcast for me.
Yeah, can we
just
restart?
Just insulting everyone's families.
That's my sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not supposed to react, but she is a very pretty woman. Yes, you have a very beautiful family, Juan.
Except for me.
If they're real.
Yeah. They could be unreal.
Actors.
I typically have a album, photo album saved of generic shit whenever people ask about my family.
Yeah. I would too.
That Croatian girl's your cousin?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So where does all this...
Is that Heidi Klum?
Yeah, just somehow 6 degrees to Heidi Klum. Well, I would imagine that your mother and your sister are very excited about you paying off all of your taxes. It's a bad segue. I just wanted to talk about taxes.
But they didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Pretty sure my friends knew about that, because I was like, I'm not going to let my family know if there was a small chance of me going to jail for not paying my taxes for 10 years.
So did you pay this year's taxes already, too, or you still got this year's taxes?
What do you mean? The one that we just filed
for? No, yeah, so you said that you paid off a bunch of shit, you owed to the IRS, and then now there's the new taxes. Have you paid that too? Or are you getting a refund?
He's using his return from this year.
The refund covers the balance with some leftover that I'm going to get.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a massive
refund. Hot tax talk.
Hot tax. Well, no, the reason I ask is that people were digging this up on the Reddits recently. The IRS is trying to get people to report their illegal activity and their stolen property.
That's funny.
This is very real. Don't forget to report your income from illegal activities and stolen property as you're doing your taxes this year. There are two subsections. One is Schedule 1, Form 1040, Line 8Z, or on Schedule C, Form 1040. You know, it says income from illegal activities such as money from dealing illegal drugs must be included in your income. Very real.
Damn. But these people are dumb enough to actually report it. These are the dumbass people.
I need to go redo my taxes from 2011 to 2015.
You're going to get audited. And well. The next one, stolen property. If you steal property, you must report its fair market value in your income in the year that you steal it, unless you return it to its rightful owner in the same year. Now, I will say that this
can't be real.
Right, that this is a picture on X, very reliable, but I did look a little bit. It says this is real. This is irs.gov, and you click on it, and it takes you to irs.gov, and it talks about taxable income, and it's probably somewhere in here, but I'm not going to go and fact check it.
The IRS isn't real.
That might, well, soon it kind of feels that way. They're trying to solve the IRS.
Yeah, fuck them.
They're going to stop making us pay taxes.
Damn. Anyways, it is fun. It's kind of like the sting operation that police did. What was it, in the Bay Area or LA, where they had
the free Super Bowl tickets.
Super Bowl tickets for the criminals, and they just like...
I just like to imagine the group of people that you would see on a show, like a show from Vice, with wearing the bandana covering their face, scratching credit cards, and they're like, oh, I forgot to file my taxes. I got to include $2.8 million that I scammed off of people.
Shit, it's April 15th again?
They're
damn
celebrating
it.
Tax returns and refunds. Yes, $5,000.
Yeah, so what, you know, what's the tax percentage on the stuff that you steal? It's pretty much worth it at that point. If you do report it, still like half off, right?
What does your CPA,
are they taking the whole thing on it?
What does your CPA do when you email paperwork for your black market purchases?
You just send screenshots of like you in security footage.
Three kidneys in 2023. Yeah. Korean baby 2022.
Mm, yes. The yeah, you know, it, during pandemic years, you get one free baby forgiven. So
that's probably the best time to like look up black market shit was during COVID when you were just stuck at home. I don't know why I never thought of it.
Have you guys ever bought anything off of like the Silk Road or after off of a Tor browser?
I don't
is that,
even.
Is that code word for black market?
I'm assuming that's what you mean. I have no idea. You just spoke very foreign language to me.
Is
I'm
that black market?
Black market stuff.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I've never even. I've been
I would
offered.
Have no idea how to get there.
I've been curious about looking it up, but I don't want to get in trouble, but I've never even seen it. I don't even know what it looks
you
like.
Just type in black market browser on Google. Like, how do you get there?
Well, can I tell you a story?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. A good black market story is great for the algorithms.
Well, while I was in jail, I
love it.
Had a bunkmate named Matt Armstrong. And
great jail name.
Probably should say names.
Yeah, bleep that out. Anyways, and he told me about this thing called Bitcoin. And
never heard.
And he was telling me how you could use this Bitcoin to buy things off of this black market site called the Silk Road. And you could only get to the Silk Road through a Tor browser, which is basically a browser that recycles your IP address. So you're able to buy illegal things and not be located or identified. And I didn't believe him. And we kept contact after I had gotten out of jail.
That's great. Great to keep acquaintances with jail people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's called networking.
It's called networking, Pete.
Just in case.
And I continued to tell him that I don't believe this is real because he was like, oh, I got this off the Silk Road. Oh, I got this. And this being like drugs, good drugs. And I was like, okay, if this is real, then order me. You know, a half eighth of Molly, pure Molly from Europe, and have it shipped to me. Here's my address. Here's whatever. And he was like, okay, it's going to cost, you know, half a Bitcoin, which at that time was
like. Yeah. You know, I mean, nowadays, you know, you think about half a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Then it was
what's that?
Then,
like $100?
No, it was. I think at that time it was like $250. And I was like, okay, yeah, I don't believe you, so I'm not going to pay you until I get it.
Right.
And he's like, okay, I'll do it. And a couple weeks later, I receive a package. And I open the package, and it's a DVD. It's a Bruce Willis DVD. I don't remember what it's called. It was like a racing movie. It had something to do with cars.
Die Hard.
No.
Drive Hard.
Drive Hard.
Yeah. And I was like, this is weird, because I had kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really odd. And then I opened the package, I opened the DVD, and I opened the case. And at the top, there's the disc. The movie's in there.
Yeah.
And at the top, there's this, like, silver-sealed package.
Okay.
And sure enough, I open it up, and there's all the Molly. And it was some of the best.
There you go.
Did you pay him?
No.
And you just mentioned that guy's name, and that guy's now after you.
Matt, well, don't worry. We might be moving soon, so you don't have any idea where this podcast is going to be. Maybe that last week when we were talking with the guy was Matt.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it. I've actually looked him up. He's gone back to jail.
Oh,
several times.
You know, here's me thinking that, like, oh yeah, they're gonna just send it, and it's just gonna be in this like little like baggie, and it's not gonna be discreet at all. It's just
you think
like,
the box just says,
"I'd be the
Molly,
dumbest criminal.
Good Molly,
yeah,
good European Molly." No, and the DVD case was like sealed in the cellophane or whatever.
Wow.
It was like brand new.
Imagine the type of organic ketchup you can get from the black
market. Oh, goddamn. That was my second thought.
Yeah.
Good Dijon.
Oh, yeah. Pure Dijon.
Spicy brown.
Remember to report your illegal activities this year, boys. Yeah. Remember to.
Yep.
Let's see. Do you want to go weddings or boots with the fur next, boys? Choose your own adventure.
Those are one and the same, aren't they?
Yeah, I do. I do imagine. Juan Magoo, I will go back to you. This is you are planning a wedding. You went and you did some tastings. Is that right?
We're going to. We just signed up for a couple.
You're going to. Okay. So I.
I got it.
Yeah. There it goes. I can't. I don't know if this is if this guy is legit or not. But there is this account that's pretty big, and I imagine that they are funding their wedding with the funds that they are receiving from the TikToks. The tagline: how much a wedding costs in 2024. You will be shocked. And how many people are you planning on having? A couple hundred?
Like 120 and 130.
Sure. The gal is talking with her fiance about how much their wedding is going to cost.
No. Let's start with flowers.
That's the cheapest thing, I assume. $300?
So,
$15,000?
15? That's fucking crazy. That's stupid. Right now.
Okay, how do you think the venue is?
Well, now I don't freaking know.
30. 20. Oh, 20. Is that all? Okay.
No, not okay.
What do you think the food is per person?
We're having how many people?
200. To like 250.
$50 a person?
250.
That's insane.
What? 250 times 250.
It's $62,500.
No!
There's no way. Yeah,
this is not normal.
Okay, and then we have the DJ.
That's not included. Okay, that's 1,000.
5,000.
Are
we having Diplo?
Is he playing with a glow in the dark dick?
Man, what is that?
I'm not even gonna eat the cake. I'm gluten free. The cake can't be more than 1,000.
3,000.
That's crazy.
So dumb. Yeah. Mine was like $500.
Don't forget, we have hair, makeup, my dress, your tux, our rings, the photographer, the videographer, the open bar, we have to tip everyone.
Yeah, alcohol's not even included.
How much do you think it's going to be?
They're at 100,000 without alcohol.
150 to 200.
I can buy a house.
You could buy a house.
Yeah, but
that's insane.
You're also talking about people with
About unrelatable.
Yeah.
1.4 million views on TikTok. So they're pulling in millions off of TikTok. Yeah. So they could pay for a
$200,000. Literally just funded the $5,000 DJ there. But still, it is something that remains crazy. I mean, like, I got married 8 years ago, 9 years ago, whatever. And the wedding venue that you looked at, that I got married in, is like double what it was.
Yeah.
So insane.
Well, the fact that people have a separate binder or a price list for a wedding, like a caterer, for example, is like, oh, it's an office party. It's double the price for a wedding for like for no extra.
Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. It's nothing else included.
You ever try and tap dance around it? Be like, I'm planning an event. And they go,
no, like we were talking to a caterer and I'm like, if I were to piecemeal items from your menu that you sent, we are looking at around like $4,000. Mm-hmm. Her wedding packages were $11,000, $10,000, and
$9,000. So silly.
I'm like, that gap right there, what is included with that? Like,
bamboo,
I don't understand.
Fancy napkins. Are you happy to be done planning a wedding? Did you... It just kind of, you know.
And I think that I am a little bit of an outlier because I fortunately have a partner, a wife, who isn't, not to like diminish women who are super into their wedding and like, you know, it has to be fairy tale. But Jarrah was never like...
She's practical.
She's incredibly practical, incredibly frugal.
Modest, yeah.
Yeah, and... You know, so I'm very blessed and thankful to have a partner who was like realistic and understood that, yeah, we want this to be a special day, but we're not gonna, you know, blow our bank accounts out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course we had support. I'm not trying to say that.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
You know,
that's probably one of the biggest things. If you have connections that could add up to like a like a big hookup with some of the bigger things, bigger expenses, that's great. But going into debt for one big party is fucking ridiculous.
Sure, yeah.
Like, it is a special day for both of you, but make no mistake, this is a party for your family and friends to celebrate with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go into credit card debt and to go into just not be able to pay for anything after to have one great fucking day is crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, and
we're both on board with, like, that's not happening.
Yeah. And to think too, the people that were at my wedding when I got married versus who's in my life today, you know, it was fun then, but then you kind of think like, well, that was a dollar amount on that person that.
Yeah. I wasn't even there.
Yeah. We had just met, I think.
Okay.
Had we met yet at that point?
I don't think we had.
Maybe we had.
But. Yeah, and honestly, I was the one who was like, oh, who cares? It's our wedding. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, and shoot the wad.
Yeah, and honestly, I raised my credit card limit by 3 times.
Yeah, yeah,
with that wedding. Because we just put it on the credit card, paid it off.
Yeah. Accrue those points.
Yeah.
Is that what... Oh, wait, you guys are going on your honeymoon by a different way. You didn't, like... It wasn't like a credit card accrual point thing where...
No, yeah. No. Thankfully, Jared's cousin used his plethora of points to send us on our honeymoon to Italy, which we are leaving for next Friday.
That's incredible. So next week will be your last podcast for a couple of weeks.
We're going
to have an interesting March because we're going to have to record one episode early. You're not going to be on two. Is it two?
Two.
We're going to do two alone. I think we might have a guest.
Let's do a guest.
And then I'll be back right before March Madness.
Great. And we're planning on doing either just watching a full day at ALNA, or maybe we're thinking about seeing if they'll clear us to do a pod there. Maybe we'll just be audio only. Who knows? So
who's in charge of that?
I'll look into it.
I'm trying to enjoy the games and not trying to record a podcast.
Like, oh.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we'll just get drunk and bet all of our mindless money. So, and then talk about it.
We can record some stuff, but like while we're watching it, not like do a full
setup. Oh, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, not ruin it for ourselves. That makes sense.
That'll be super fun to come back to.
Yeah, I know. All the lead up, we're kind of in this bit of a dead period. We're recording when there's no NBA games. We will, here in a bit, talk about the NBA All-Star game. However, before we get into that, there was a conversation that has to do with Reba McEntire from the Super Bowl.
Love her.
So Reba... was posted a photo of herself before she sang the national anthem for the Super Bowl, and it sparked a big old controversy because someone, either she did it or someone on her team, people were talking about her, quote, she looked good in these jeans, and someone said, like, she's got those apple bottom jeans. And then she responded back on her TikTok with what she was wearing. She said, boots with the fur. But the thing is that she was only wearing boots and she was wearing a fur, in which it sparked this gigantic debate about what boots with the fur actually means and whether or not boots with a fur is legitimately boots that has fur on it or boots in which you are then wearing fur. So here's that debate.
Okay, she tweets boots with the fur and she's wearing a fur coat and boots, and this person says, this is the first time I have considered that the boots themselves did not have fur. As in the Flo Rida song Low, apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. I need you to tell me, did you always interpret that as a woman wearing normal boots with a fur coat, boots with the fur? Or did you, like me, and I think the rest of the world, assume that her boots were furry? I'm sorry, I still think... It's
the latter. It's boots with fur on it.
When that song came out, it was very popular for girls to have boots with like a fur lining on the top.
Yeah.
All you got to do is watch the music video. I don't know why it's a debate.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen any fur yet.
Yeah, I mean, like, you would think that they would lean into it right away.
Are they going to also debate Reeboks with the straps? Does that mean your Reeboks have straps, or are you carrying
and,
a gun?
And that you're carrying a gun?
With yeah, your Reeboks.
That's true. Yeah, it's like,
or
how
you
much...
just have a jacket with a lot of straps.
Just undoing it rather than buttons. Just so many. Yeah, I need to take this jacket off. It's hot.
Hey, take your jacket off. Stay a while. Hold on. Velcro everywhere.
Oh, you know, honestly, I'm going to change topic real quick. When you were explaining that to us,
was I not doing a good job?
No.
I thought I was.
You did. No, I'm saying no, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
There is this guy on Instagram that I've seen who's his whole thing is every guy with a podcast and he does these bits and that what
Can
you
tell
just
you
did
is it that guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I blow your mind real quick?
Yes. It is you. It is you. It is so you.
And Chris is looking at me over there. He's just shaking his head.
You sound almost exactly like him. You should put one of the videos up. Put
it doesn't matter which one. Like
it doesn't matter which
podcast.
It doesn't matter which one because...
So this guy has a podcast and he just sounds like Peter? Or
he makes
fun
of guys with podcasts.
Guy with a podcast. Here we go.
Can I blow your mind right now? Chris is laughing because he knows where I'm going with this. Okay. There's not a single video of Abraham Lincoln. I'm serious. Look it up. Go on YouTube. Okay? Think about that. He's one of the most famous Americans in history. He's the first president. He made slavery illegal. And there's no video. You can look it up. There's no videos of Abraham Lincoln. And every time I say that, someone goes, no. There's got to be. He's Abraham Lincoln. None. So then you start to ask yourself, and if you really want to go down this rabbit hole with me here, just bear with me.
Love rabbit holes.
Who's controlling what we get to see a video of and what there is no video of?
It's true.
Right? Because there's no videos of Abraham Lincoln, but I can go on YouTube right now. I can go on YouTube right now, and you can do it. And you can watch behind-the-scenes footage of Paul Giamatti recording his lines for the Ant Bully. Right? But there's no videos of Joan of Arc.
And that's it. And that's me. So if you go back about 2 minutes... and then you kind of, you know, get
listening
through all of
to that. Him explain boots with the fur. It is that guy.
Can I blow your mind real quick? Isn't that concerning?
I feel like sometimes I feel bad, but I think you would prefer that we're just like real and transparent every time. And we're not always just like doing fake support because that wouldn't be us.
Right.
But you sometimes introduce these topics. And it's like very animated and emotional.
And then there's no payoff.
And then there's no...
You don't meet me there.
There's no end point. And it just dies.
Yep. And then
because sometimes, like, if I decide to jump in with both feet and I'm like, all right, what you got? And then it's just the most underwhelming result sometimes. Yeah. So it's like...
I have never considered that they were boots with a fur coat.
Have you? Let me see if I can do
sound
this.
Off in the comments.
How I expect you to react. This is a terrible bit. This is a terrible bit.
But we love you, Pete.
Yeah. I don't always vet these topics with. In fact, I never vet these topics.
I think
with. Maybe
I think you spend so much time looking up TikTok, and you're like, "This will make
this
it
will,
good on
will,
the show." And then sometimes it doesn't translate.
This will hit. Okay,
he sits there on TikTok and he sees one, and that makes him go, "That'll do."
That'll do. Well, that's exactly
good
what
enough.
Happened. That is the best. That is the best segue because this week I saw this video. It is these gals, and it says who has the best hot dog yell, and it's perfect for the pod.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs.
Yeah.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs!
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs!
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs!
And that's it.
God, Millie.
Hot dog!
If Millie was selling it, I wouldn't buy it. This is what happens at girl sleepovers?
Hot dog.
Yeah, if Millie was selling it, it's a little too aggressive for me.
It's a little too... It's a little too forward there.
Millie's like, you wouldn't take a hot dog from anybody.
You would take a hot dog from anybody.
Millie's the type that just squeeze ketchup on you.
Just open your mouth.
Hot dogs.
You would take a hot dog from anyone and everyone. Have you ever said no to a hot dog? Can I blow your mind real quick?
I don't think I've said no to a hot dog. I have had hot dogs that disappointed me. It's unfortunate. Yeah. Especially after it's been talked up.
Yeah, moment of silence for that.
Do you think that you've had a more disappointing hot dog than Braxton had at the Coliseum?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But he walked up, he got a cold dog at a game that he, you know, like you didn't have a vested interest in. Yep. And we were 45 degree angle up, three rows from the top of the Coliseum.
You have to understand.
He got a cold dog.
He got a cold quality. It was a quality dog still.
A quality.
I'm just looking at the big picture here. It is a quality dog that just like wasn't prepared well. I've had a
it
hot
wasn't
dog.
Prepared, period.
Right. It was cold, but I'm saying it wasn't a shit hot dog. It was a shit experience for you because you had a cold hot dog. Well, I've had a hot dog that was talked up, and the hot dog itself was absolute shit.
But
was it warm?
No, it was. Imagine a hot dog with no bite, with no snap. It was paste.
Yeah.
Like you bit into the hot dog.
That doesn't answer. There's no. Was it warm?
It was warm.
I think that it's better than what I got.
I think you're missing my point. It's like you. It was overall, it was a quality hot dog. It was just cold. All I'm saying.
But I think that what also goes into that experience is the fact that I climbed four flights of stairs to and fro.
That's part of the game.
And you didn't even take a courtesy bite on your way up, which is equally impressive.
I was terrified that I was going to fall.
Yeah. But even that like first swing, you get it, thank you, and then you walk away. You don't even get a... You're going to have to take courtesy bites and everyone. And now, don't get me wrong, I will eat a cold hot dog when I'm expecting to eat a cold hot dog, right?
Like, maybe, who the fuck does that?
No, but like say you're at a barbecue and it's just like not right fresh off the grill, like you'll still eat a hot dog,
but
right?
Here's the thing. That hot dog was cooked and then had gone cold.
Or had gone room temperature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got a hot dog that had never been cooked.
Right. That's not true. It was just cold, but most hot dogs are cooked.
But you know what?
It had not been
warmed up.
Warmed up.
I'm gonna.
It was out of the package into the bun.
How did your day end or your night end after your dog? Because Braxton's night ended with probably the best hot dog of his life.
That's
so
true.
I will concede the potential that his experience might not have been as bad because he ended up getting a life changing dog and he got clicked at.
I didn't get. I wasn't able to get. What am I looking for? Like a.
Satisfaction,
like a satisfaction or a reward after having that. This was a street dog in Mexico, and people were like, "This is the best one from all the locals. This is the best one." And I don't necessarily think it's the cart's fault. I think Mexican hot dogs are just that way. I don't think you bite into them with a snap. I think they're very pasty and mushy. Yeah, it's like imagine biting into just like refried beans.
Mm.
It's that
That's
type
no bueno.
Of texture and consistency.
Very Mexico of you for that, yeah.
But I think the one consolation was Jordan, who's with me on that trip, got their burger, and it was, that's what you get there. You don't get the hot dog. You get the burger.
You get the hamburger.
It's a late night. It's a late night joint.
Speaking of Mexico, too, we have embarked on looking at the Airbnbs for the bachelor party coming up in February of 2025. Very
Thoughts?
Exciting.
I did tell Braxton about the most exciting house because of what it says on the rules, and said
no,
there's no neighbors, bachelor parties welcome. We want you to make as much noise as possible.
No sound ordinance or anything like that. Is that the one that also has the three meals included?
Yeah, and private transportation.
So why aren't we booking that?
Because
he doesn't have $9,000 in hand from everyone right now, you know.
Mitch made a good point that even though it's not by the airport, because you want to be far from the airport, because that means you're in like Cabo proper,
yeah,
right. Before booking anything, he said, "Look at the background of that house, and it's in the mountains."
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though it says you're this many minutes away from everywhere we're gonna go. Where is this house exactly, and how far away are we going
to
be?
And who's willing to come get you?
Right, because like the background of the house is like you're in the mountains. You don't even see the ocean. Mm. So it's it's not sketchy, but like you want to look into it and not make a $10,000 decision. And there might be other houses.
Willy-nilly, yeah. William Billiam.
Regardless, there's a lot of options.
It's going to be great. And I realize that I was probably have better things to do with my time than looking up houses a year away when... But I just can't help myself. I can't not help myself.
Well, speaking of bachelor parties, Peter, you're invited to Matt's.
Is that right? Is he going to tell me that?
No. Well, I'm the best man.
Okay, so you get to decide who's coming?
No.
Oh, okay.
He told me.
Still struggling to find how I'm invited.
Well, let me tell you.
Okay, yeah,
let me
shut
connect
up.
The
yeah,
dots. Right. I was asking him, who do you want to invite? And he was like, oh, well, there's a few people like family members and, you know, friends from the East Coast that he grew up with or whatever. And he was like, but other than that, just invite everybody you invited to your bachelor party.
I was going to say, you're inviting me. Does he know that he's not invited?
I already asked him.
All right. Well,
it's two weeks before my wedding. That's going to be a tough one.
Probably three weekends before.
You could do that. Three weekends before? Anyway. She'll actually probably have nothing
thing.
To
it's
do with
three
you.
Three weekends before his wedding and four weekends after his bachelor party.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Oof. Squeeze.
Yeah. Where is it going to be at?
Ozarks.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm doing that.
You're in?
Yeah, I'm going to start saving a bunch of money now before I end up buying a house that's going to turn me upside down in my mortgage and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
In a three-month period, you get two bachelor parties and a wedding.
Lindsay's going to go like, you're going to the Ozarks without me for a guy that you don't even really know.
He was on the pod,
Lindsay. Yeah, he was on the pod. We spent a weekend together? What are you talking about? We're brothers. We're brothers. Can I blow your mind real quick? God damn it.
We play Xbox Live together.
Yeah, I also saw a video this week where a guy just like was constantly talking in Borat terms to his... girlfriend or whatnot, which was so annoying that I found myself doing it to Lindsay like for 2 days afterwards.
Guy,
like,
a bunch of guys just saying, how much?
Yeah.
My wife.
It's nice.
What a classic movie, though.
Never seen it.
Honestly? Really? All right. Stop the pod. We'll do it now.
I know there's a lot of movies that fall into the category of that wouldn't fly today, but my God, that movie would... There's no parts of that movie that would fly today. That was the most inappropriately funny, like funniest fucking movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Unless you choose to be offended. If you choose to be offended, it would not work for you.
But that seemed pretty like common for that. If that came out now, I think that a very different reception. But you'll watch it now and then you go, oof, oof. But then you'll still laugh. But we all got a good laugh about this past weekend's NBA All-Star Game, boys.
Garbage.
One thing, and we can I guess go in order or whatever. Why don't we just talk about the game? Let's start it with the pregame festivities. The weekend, as we had talked about, was just we're going to give it a chance. We're going to see how we like it, and then go from there. Not going to be as much. Leeway that we might give for these guys. And so 3-point competition, always fun. The skills competition, a disaster. You know, guys hitting off the side of the backboard, like just chucking balls behind their backs, like tripping all over themselves. Not necessarily the best display of the skills competition. Dame wins himself, the favorite for the 3-point competition, ends up winning that one. And then the dunk contest, which... The dunk contest
was
an absolute garbage show.
I think the dunk contest died in 2016. That was probably the last good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. People are all kind of overreacting, being like, oh, it's dead. What's happened? It's like, how is it different from last year or the year before or the year before that?
Continue to have this like until they speak it into existence. Maybe.
Since Aaron Gordon and...
Zach LaVine.
Yeah, like that's kind of been the last great one or good one.
Yeah. And then it wasn't even decided, you know, fairly or correctly or whatnot.
I think we're also spoiled as fans, though, because you have to remember when the early dunk contest, like what they were doing back then was so regular. It's so regular today.
Right.
And we have seen, you know, 720s and East Bay and behind the back and under the legs. It's like, these are freakishly athletic dudes that have done these dunks. And you're almost like, what else is left?
Yeah, yeah. We've seen it all.
We've come to the end of the repertoire.
We're running out of creativity with dunks, and I don't think it's a good sign when non-NBA guys are winning it. Like, that's, what does that tell you? You can't get the most athletic guys in the league. You have a G League guy that won it 2 years in a row. Yeah. And you tell me he can't get an NBA contract?
Right.
He's beating them in the dunk contest, and you can't get a fucking NBA contract? G-leaguers
and brothers of people who actually matter. You know, obviously LeBron James gets blamed for ruining everything, which I'm all for, right? But as it relates to the dunk contest, and, you know, we see a guy like Jaylen Brown who actually does it. Apparently he said that, like, what he wanted to do wasn't possible because of how slippery the LED court was, whatever. The concept sucked. He got crucified for it. He was trying to pay homage to, I don't remember the guy's name.
D. Brown.
Yeah, D. Brown.
But he did a bad job.
He did a terrible job. He, like, did the move after the fact.
D. Brown did a cover your eyes dunk while he was actually dunking. I mean, Jaylen Brown dunked, waited 5 seconds, and like, and covered
then,
his eyes.
And then, like, dabbed or something like that. It was like, what are you doing? And so then, you know, goes back to what we were talking about, which was, like, what is the incentive or motivation for anyone of any name to do it if they're just going to get ridiculed for it? What's the incentive there? A couple things that when we look at because I don't want to spend a ton of time on the dunk competition. When we looked at what happened between Steph and Sabrina, though, that was what turned out to be the ratings bonanza. The ratings peaked.
I kind of knew that coming in. Yeah. That's got to be the best one.
So why don't you try and replicate that in so many different ways? Like, I mean, why not do the dunk, like we said last week, why not do the dunk competition with amateurs? I literally just, like, can I blow your mind right now? I was thinking about, like, could you actually do, like, people would be down with mascots and doing, like, crazy shit in dunks too, right? Why not have a mascot dunk competition with fucking trampolines and, you know, like, guys up in, like, dude perfecting from the rafters or something, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But just something like that to add intrigue where, like, the athletes are still there and they're still into it and they still, you know, go over to LeBron and he's all like, oh, and he's there.
Yeah.
You get the reaction. You get the players maybe even voting. I don't
know. I think
know.
After this weekend, there is enough of a blowback. And I have enough trust in Adam Silver. He was clearly unhappy with the whole weekend.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things you could do, I feel like. I don't feel like it's a lost cause. I think you can get the players' union and almost like in a fucking executive room and say, what can we do to improve the dunk contest? Is it you guys involved? Are you going to be offended if we get Jordan Kilgannon, a bunch of amateurs, non-NBA players to do this just to make it more exciting? I don't think there's that much of an incentive for current players. There's a rumor back 10 years ago, or maybe farther back, that they offered $1 million for Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Kobe, and LeBron to be in the dunk contest. And it didn't happen. I mean, if $1 million isn't enough, there's not a lot of guys that's going to want to do it. I think the negative effect is enough for them to just turn whatever incentive is, turn it down.
Why do you suppose the Steph and Sabrina thing worked then? Because pride wasn't an issue with Steph, even if he lost, because he knew that it was going to charity and no matter what, whatever he was supporting was going to win?
I think Steph is the biggest reason why that works, because he's the greatest shooter we've ever seen.
Sure.
So the possibility of him losing attracts enough people to be like, I don't think you would have gotten the ratings if it was like Dame versus Sabrina.
Sure.
It's Steph. Steph brought that. Now, granted, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you can fucking shoot, Sabrina proved that. I mean, she lost by two shots. Shooting from the men's line, from the NBA line. Yeah. Yeah, with a women's ball, who gives a shit? That's what she plays with. She would have beaten Steph if she shot from the WNBA line, mm-hmm. I would think. She's that good a shooter.
And I think it really comes down to Steph as a person, because I feel like Steph is one of those NBA players who understands the importance of doing things like that. And I don't think his pride...
He's humble.
Yeah, doesn't it won't come in the way as much as some of these other guys.
Yeah, no one was gonna like show up on Monday in these hot take shows saying, "Oh, I can't believe if Steph actually lost, oh, the greatest shooter of all time is he lost his touch. You know, all this, yeah. That would never would have happened. You
well,
know?
And let's say worst case scenario, it did. He's one of the people, few people in the NBA who would be like, I do not give a fuck.
Yeah. Scoreboard.
Exactly.
You know, look I at think the record books here.
The downfall of the dunk contest is directly related to the downfall of the All-Star game, too. I think there's a element of competitiveness that people took pride in participating in back when Jordan and Iverson and Jason Kidd were still around. Kevin Garnett, all those guys. But it's clear that in the last few years, and especially this year, these players look at the All-Star weekend as a break. It's not something that they want to participate in. There's not that much fire. There's not that much, like, there's not a lot of spirit when it comes to being there.
Well, especially because of the new rules that have been enacted this year with the MVP, and you have to play so many games. Yeah. Like, I'm sure that's even heavier on their minds of like, hey, let's take it easy this week.
Anthony Edwards, after the All-Star game, or at least in this weekend, said, for me, it's an All-Star game, so I don't think I will ever look at it as being super competitive. This is one of the people, a young rising star, saying this. It's always fun. I don't know what they can do to make it more competitive, but they can't. Oh, it's just they said it twice. It's a break. I don't think nobody wants to come here and compete. You know, there's absolutely, one, no incentive. You know, the in-league tournament counted towards their record, but also got them more money. And so, you know, they come in. And again, to your point, Braxton, the 65 games, there's no incentive there. And so do you change it by, you know, I don't even know if a U.S. versus world thing would work.
No. I don't think money works. I don't think structure or money is the answer.
What about?
I think tying it to some sort of reward for the actual season is what would get them to change their minds.
The MLB did it with home court, home field advantage.
So that's a good start, is the conference that wins it has home court advantage. I think that's a small baby step to get them to change something. If you participate in a skills competition in a three-point or a dunk, you might be graced with a few more games to qualify for the individual awards because you're sacrificing your quote-unquote vacation to participate. I think there's enough stuff you could reach for that would make it a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, I think that like when you in your brain are thinking, I'm going to this thing to do a bunch of sponsorship stuff, to hang out, to not compete, to treat it as a break just because everyone else is, with the exception of a few dozen players. You know, there's 400 guys, 350 of those guys, for instance, are getting a whole week off, and here you are having to do all of this media and all of these appearances and then play. And whether or not you risk the possibility that you could ever get hurt when you're like, I'm an all-star, my team is probably good, and I don't want to sacrifice the longer-term goal here.
I think
so. Get rid of it. Then.
It starts. I don't think you get rid of it. I think it starts at the top. I don't think it's.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily.
Yeah,
blame
you don't
the
get rid of it.
The NBA players are always gonna do. They're always gonna adjust to what they're presented. It's the same way that the rules, like they play the game based on how the rules are presented to them. It always starts at the top. It's no different than like building an office culture. You can't force your fucking people to have fun. So it starts with Adam Silver. How do you get the there's no culture in the NBA like there used to be. You know, even comments like Josh Hart, why would I go to Indianapolis? Fuck that. I don't want to step foot there unless I'm playing Indiana. That's a big sign that like nothing about the weekend is exciting to them anymore. But you go back to like 98, the All-Star game, and then whoever didn't participate in the All-Star game were all in the stands with their camcorders. Like, I can't wait to watch this shit. And it's a party. Like, it doesn't exist anymore. They got to bring that back. I don't know what the answer is, but it's going to start at the top with the feedback of the players. Like, well, how can we make this exciting for you guys and the audience?
Almost do it like the NFL, where it's like in the same location every year. Like, it's in Vegas every year. It's fun. And also like the NFL, like maybe have it be at the end of the year. Like, don't make it necessarily a break. Like, have players who don't make the playoffs that, you know, are a part of the All-Star. I don't know. What if they just were like, okay, if the West wins, each player gets to choose one player from the East that when they play them in the playoffs only gets to play 10 minutes a game.
That'd be awesome. Talking about throwing people under the bus. Oh, Luca, you're off the first quarter.
Okay, so let's see. I just asked ChatGPT. They'll solve it. And I said, the NBA All-Star game appears to be broken. Give me 10 give me 10 ways to make it more compelling and competitive.
You couldn't have gone with 5.
Whatever. So shorten the game, incentivize defense, offer bonuses or rewards for defensive plays such as steals, blocks, implement playoff stakes, connect the outcome to postseason, granting home court, fan involvement, allow fans to vote for specific in-game changes or challenges, such as implementing a four-point line. I don't necessarily know that's going to change anything. You know, guys are pulling up from half court anyways. Introduce mid-game adjustments. Give coaches the ability to make, and they just mic up players. They do that. Incorporate a Legends game. I suppose that could be fun, but that doesn't fix the All-Star game. Implement a draft system. Instead of players from each conference, have teams, captains. Well, they do that. So, thanks for nothing, the AI.
The best thing they've done in the last few years is when they did a $50,000 reward for each quarter and played a 21 for each quarter. And then it was $200,000 for the fourth. So...
That was all to charity, though, right?
That was all to charity, but that was the most competitive All-Star game I've seen since 2003. That was like 2016 or 2017 or 18.
It was the one right after Kobe died.
So,
I'm pretty sure.
2021? Something like that. Sure.
Yeah, that was intense. I mean, they were going after it. You weren't just pulling up because you had 12 minutes. It was, you were playing the 21, and it brought back like the, you know, how you used to play when you were a kid back in, you know, playing out on the street, playing out in the parks. Like, we're playing the 21. They're going after it, even though it's for charity. And then fourth quarter was fucking intense. That was cool.
What if they made smaller teams do like a three on three and you actually play 21.
Gilbert Arenas in his podcast suggested a one-on-one.
One-on-one stuff. Yeah, that could be fun.
And they were like, had prize money for the winner.
What happens when someone gets hurt? What happens when someone goes up to block and then lands and rolls their ankle and severely hurts themselves? And that's just kind of...
Injuries suck.
And then they'll say, why are we doing this? Why are they putting these guys in harm's way all for our own personal benefit?
Injuries suck, but you can get injured in practice. You can get fucking injured in a workout. So.
Play 21 with tip-ins.
Sure. The Charles Barkley continues to be a... You know, pot, just a shining light in anything and everything on broadcast. He was there with Draymond Green. And is that Taylor Rooks or is that someone else?
Taylor Rooks.
Yeah. And they were just going, Charles and Draymond were going back and forth the whole time.
How much you pay for this suit? Probably about $1,000. It looked like it. Okay. Hey, you know what's funny about that? You know who was asking about you the other day? Who's that? Nobody.
Let's see. I think I had a couple others here. Why not? Let's see if this one works. Might be the same thing. We'll see.
It's been great working with y'all. Right. Two legends. Thank you.
I enjoyed it, brother.
I appreciate it.
I always watch you from a distance. It's been a pleasure to work with you. Dre, you're a hell of a player. Good luck in the play-in.
Don't let him do you.
You're not doing
my ring like that.
That is crazy right now. You are not acting like that. Here, Chuck, take my ring.
No, you all made this game so much fun.
What a burn.
Surprised he didn't try and stab him.
I might use that. You know who asked about you the other day?
Nobody. Nobody. That's such a good line. That is such a good line. So, yeah, I am Adam Silver is one for one on kind of trying to fix the season here. I still don't really like this. Well, I guess maybe one for two. I don't know if I like all the play-in stuff for like 7 through 10 and all the complicatedness of that.
I think people like nostalgia, and I think doing small things like having them wear their team jerseys would kind of bring people back to those Jordan Kobe days where you used to wear your own team's jersey,
mm-hmm.
which would be cool. Start there. And then let's see what else we can work out.
Another thing that happened at All-Star, Tyrese Halliburton, a Indiana Pacer hosting there at the All-Star game.
Should have gotten MVP.
I put like an MVP bet on him at like plus 550 or whatever.
Yeah, they gave it to Dame.
Also, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I thought he was going to pop off on that game. He did. He did, but just not in the way that others had. We have given Karl Anthony Towns a lot of grief over how he talks. I don't really, haven't really heard Tyrese Halliburton talk very much. I don't know if he goes in and out of certain voices a bunch, but there is a high version of his voice and a low, and it can't seem in this clip that he can figure out which inflection point that he wants.
I think I've handled it well, but I think just as athletes, as professional athletes in general.
Any other questions here for Tyrese?
I'm done.
All right.
Okay. I'll answer your question. My bad. I don't know what's going on up here. But to answer your question, I think as professional athletes, we're human beings at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So I think what you put off surface level is different than, you know, we're all humans. We all have emotions and good days and bad days. But
that was weird, right?
You see the Pat McAfee clip with him?
I didn't. No, I'll look it up, though. Is it, like, does he usually go in and out of his voice like that?
Look up the Pat McAfee
clip. It's less noticeable than, like, Cat is a big jump.
That is. It's very Tyrese Halliburton, Pat McAfee.
For so long after P and those guys left, and Sabonis is a great player, and they had other guys, but, like, I think for the more casual basketball fan, it wasn't necessarily appealing, you know, like,
yeah,
post basketball is not appealing unless it's Jokic or Joel or Shaq, you know what I mean? What?
Like, you have two different voices.
I do. People say that all the time.
Did you hear? I didn't know if it was our microphone.
I never catch it, you know, like I watch podcasts after and I'm like, dang, my voice changed. I don't
mid sentence.
Yeah,
did you guys? I didn't do.
Oh, yeah. I wrote it just down. Two different voices. Yeah. Wrote it down.
It just happened. It just happens that way naturally sometimes.
You don't control it though.
No, I don't control. I have no control over it. It just happens.
This is like a cartoon Patrick Mahomes voice from deep. You know, we're not going like, yeah, great game, but oh my god, like Cat is a different level of shit.
Yeah,
it is.
It's wild. Okay, it's not as egregious. Just like, I didn't realize that it went in and out so often and that he thinks he has no control over
it. Here's the thing, though. You could bring it up to somebody like him, and he's cool about it. He's like, yeah, someone told me that. Or you bring it up to somebody like Patrick Mahomes. He's like, yeah, I'm Kermit right now.
Right, yeah. Can you do your best, Kermit?
I don't think Kat has that sense of humor.
No.
And I want somebody like even a Pat McAfee to bring it up to him, because I bet you he'll get offended.
Yeah, walk off.
That guy just, like, it doesn't seem like he has the personality or the sense of humor to, like, get on board and, like, yeah, I just sound spicy sometimes.
Why is it spicy? Why is it spicy? Yeah, that was my attempt. Very bad. Very, very bad. Just like the NBA All-Star game. Let's see, what else did I have from... Oh, yeah, there was one more clip, you know, because there's two more things. One clip is Shaquille O'Neal talking with Damian Lillard. He basically says, I've got no questions for you, but I've got some advice. And then I want to talk about Dame and Giannis, and then I want to transition into Doc Rivers just needing to shut the fuck up after a while, because he's not doing himself any favors about saying, I don't want this job. This was harder than I thought. But here is Shaquille O'Neal and his advice to Damian Lillard as they have had a pretty rough transition of being having the second best record before they fire their head coach. Now 3-7, the same 10-game record as the Detroit Pistons. Here is Shaquille O'Neal to Dame.
I don't have any questions. I'm going to give you some advice because I'm your big brother.
Yeah.
I've been in a position you've been in before. Kenny's been in that position before. You and Giannis, you're being too nice.
Yep.
When it all is said and done, it don't work out, three people going to get blamed. Doc, you and Yana. So you and Yana's got to make sure the troops get it done. There's no reason, but with Doc being there, y'all should be 3-7. That right there is on her. So y'all, right. So when you get back, you're going to have to grab some people by the necks and say, hey, this is what I need you to do. So
you're right.
That's my gotcha. Advice to you, young brother.
Gotcha.
And I think that that's, you know, good advice. I was curious to hear your thoughts on that. Not only that, but Giannis this past weekend talking about how the Bucks are Dame's team and thinking how weird it was to hear that when you have a guy who's been that there his whole career, almost kind of like giving up the accountability when it comes to that.
But I think if you ask Dame, he'd say, oh, this is Giannis's team.
Yeah. people that point that out the same way, like what you're saying that you're giving up accountability is bullshit. That if he said the other way, you'd be like, oh, you cocky motherfucker.
Yeah, I think they're just...
He's just being humble.
Yeah, trying to show humility.
He might. It's the same way that's like, you don't necessarily need to say you're the best player. You can think that because you have to have that confidence on the court. But he knows it's his team. But for him to say, it's my team, he's going to get so much blowback for that shit.
It's the same thing with like the after game interviews with Patrick Mahomes. You know, it's like, oh, I couldn't have done this without my guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I suppose that there is a bit of a difference because the reason why I bring that up is because Dame has been in a very similar position where him taking the reins from the Blazers while LaMarcus Aldridge was on the team. And there was a lot of like, hey, this was LA's team. And, you know, I think that LA wanted, LaMarcus Aldridge wanted it to be the guy, but couldn't be the guy or like didn't want to be the guy, if that makes any sense, where there was just, and then getting mad and putting a wedge in the locker room when Dame became the guy. And I guess like maybe to a degree, having that in the back of my mind when I just go like, they're trying to pass off, are they trying to pass off accountability here? Or to your guys's point, talking about the humility side
of things. I think actions speak louder than words. I think if you hear that from Giannis and Giannis is scoring 15 points and grabbing 6 boards, then you question it.
Yeah.
The guy saying that and dropping 30, 15, and fucking 9, you don't question it. It's just something he says. I think questioning shit like that only comes from people who never played sports, like Skip or anyone that wants clicks, because that's not a real fucking thing. He knows it's his team, but it's... Same thing with, you know, I don't think you can find a clip where Steph says, this is my team. We all clearly know that's fucking Steph's team. But I bet you he'll say, I can't do this without Draymond and Clay.
Sure.
Just humble guys.
But to this clip, I think that, you know, Shaq is right. And I think Dame knows Shaq is right. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I think this is, you know, really a, you know, an old head, excuse me, an old head coming to a young guy, if you can call Dame a young guy.
I think
and
Shaq's
just being like, dude, this is your opportunity. Don't let, you know, outside factors, and I guess you can't consider Doc outside factors, but you can. He's been there for what, 10 games?
Yeah.
It doesn't change the fact that Shaq's an egotistical guy, even though he's a very nice guy, but it is.
But he's not wrong.
It's good advice. He's not wrong. However, a lot of the heat is, like, they're getting a lot of heat because of the last game before the All-Star weekend. They lost to Memphis to a bunch of two-way players. That, like, to end their 10-game stretch at 3-7. You can't name one player in Memphis that suited up for Memphis that night. Not one.
Dylan Brooks?
No, he's in Houston now. Oh, all
right. Not like they literally pulled players out of the G League as a starting five. Like not one of their current roster played and they blew out Milwaukee.
Yeah, they were clearly trying to get to the All-Star game. And, you know, it's interesting. Like Doc Rivers almost seems as perplexed as anyone else that he is the coach right now. Made evidence by the SiriusXM interview that he is doing at NBA All-Star game. You know, he has said, like, in the past that, like, this job is harder than I thought, and I wouldn't wish this on anyone. And it just goes, dude, like, it doesn't seem like you wanted this at all, but almost like you were.
It's almost like he had never coached a basketball team before.
Forced upon him here and made even more confusing by these comments.
Personally, I'll be honest. I told our owners when they called, I said, I don't understand why you're doing this, you know. And they said, you know, one of the things they said was, well, it doesn't matter. We've done it now. And, We want you, and so that was a tough one. That's where you had the hesitation.
Just turn it down. Can't blame it on the money. He was getting paid as an analyst.
Yeah, turn it down. You were like on the national broadcast. Because
right now he feels like he's making excuses.
This is all a front.
Yeah,
he's making excuses. Don't act like you took what's his name's job as
Adrian Griffin.
Yeah. No. Before that. As an announcer, what's the coach's name? Three names.
Mark Jackson?
No.
Jeff Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah.
He gets fired, you step in for him as a commentator. And then you come on as a guy for the Bucks just to help out. A consultant, that's the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wiggle your way into a head coach. Don't act like you didn't, like, orchestrate this.
Yeah, you wanted this. You're addicted to this.
That's what pisses me off about this whole thing is like him acting so like oblivious. I don't know how I tripped and fell into this position.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, dude, you did this.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about the whole Doc Rivers saga is the JJ Redick, Pat Bev, Doc Rivers exchange. As much as people hate J.J. Redick for the comments that he made, and I don't just like him because he's a Dookie. I think he's got, like, really good basketball points whenever he does his podcast or he is calling a game.
And real quick, you're talking about how J.J. Redick was talking about the lack of accountability that Doc Rivers has.
He tweeted and said on First Take, he's like, this guy, all he does is keep making excuses. He never takes accountability. And this is a player who played for him in Philly, and Pat Bev decided to tweet back and say, how could you throw somebody under the bus who gave your career second life?
Where you had your best career. Because he had started, he was like, no one even wanted you to start, and he wanted you to start with the Clippers.
That
right?
Pat Bev take was complete bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not because Redick is a Dookie that I'm standing up for him, but there's J.J. Redick wasn't like a Jason Capono that was just in danger of going to the G League. He's talking about a J.J. Redick that Doc Rivers gave, quote-unquote, like, life back. J.J. Redick was averaging 11, 15, and 17 in the three seasons before he was talking about that.
Yeah.
And not only that, Pat Bev did not address that J.J. Redick's comments were wrong. He just decided, why would you throw this guy under the bus? Yeah. Because he knows he's right.
Well, and J.J. Redick at that time in his career could have played for anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. Doc Rivers obviously has that championship in Boston.
Yeah,
the one they're riding out still.
Yeah, he is the 80s Bears.
But we have talked several times on this podcast about his record in games that matter, and he is abysmal.
Terrible.
He has no clutch gene. You guys know. I am not the biggest NBA fan in the world. I watch basketball. I enjoy it. But one person I do not like is Doc Rivers. And it's because all this fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, get this guy out of here. He was a decent announcer.
Yeah.
Stay there, buddy.
You know what? Yeah. You know,
stop acting like you didn't have a hand, like you didn't manipulate your way back into this position. It's obvious.
And how could you think about that clip? Think about the Lob City, that Clippers team.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not take that team farther than where you got it? Chris Paul, Blake Griffin's prime, DeAndre Jordan, they had the best six-man in the league with Jamal Crawford, J.J. Redick. They had all the pieces, and it just goes, like Charles Barkley said, I've been rich, I've been poor, I've been broke, I have had a wife, I have no wife. That entire time, the Clippers have always been bad.
Yeah,
it's like
they haven't won shit.
It's like, how could you? He's had several talented teams, and he has not done anything with them because he's not a good coach.
Yeah, well, that 2015 Clippers team, I mean, I was covering that series with the Blazers and Clippers, and they were up 2-0 and dominating, and then you had both Blake Griffin and Chris Paul go down in consecutive games, and then it just, like, burst the sails out of them. That was probably the best team there, and they were rolling in that series. But yeah, it's just like, you know how you got here. Now it's super awkward that his son Austin is on ESPN, like, trying to defend his dad. It's like, maybe we just kind of recuse ourselves and don't have you talk about this.
Yeah.
It looks very weird. Like, I mean, there's no objectiveness here. I guess I can kind of understand where, like, Derek Carr or David Carr will comment on Derek Carr. But in a way that, I don't know, a father-son situation. It's different
talking about your brother.
Yeah.
Austin's also not doing himself any favors because he actually, the few clips I've seen, he makes a good analyst. But talking about,
I think Austin's pretty good. Yeah,
he's made good points. He's getting attacked for, like, the Bronny James take. But I was like, that's a legitimate take. He's right. Like, Bronny's averaging 5 points a game in college. He's probably not ready to go to the league.
I was watching that USC-Colorado game. They were in overtime, and he barely played a minute.
Yeah, he's not doing that well. And he's going to go to the league probably because he will sell tickets because of his name. But him talking about his dad is going to make people move away from, like, wanting to have him in a panel. So he should stay away from that because I think he will actually make a good NBA analyst.
Yeah.
Should he just stay away from this topic because his dad's a fucking lost cause.
I don't know what the odds are at this point. Let's go ahead and look it up.
While you're looking that up, just a real quick Bronny thing. I saw somebody was interviewing him and they asked him why he didn't wear number 23. And he said, well, I'm doing my best to, not associate with my dad. I don't want people to look at me and just think LeBron James. It's like, well, your name is LeBron James Jr. and you're wearing number 6. So
literally the only thing that we're going to do here.
I feel bad for the kid, though, because he is going to inherit, if he hasn't already, so much hate just for being LeBron's kid. He didn't ask to be that.
Yeah.
He did, but people are going to automatically fucking be against him because he's LeBron's kid. The fuck did he do to deserve that?
Yeah, it's kind of two sides of the coin because you can be like, he's benefited. He's gotten to the point to even deserve this much hate because he's LeBron's kid. He's going to make millions of dollars because he's LeBron's kid. He's going to get NBA contracts. He's going to be a first-round draft pick, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, lean into it a little
bit. And I totally agree with you. There's the other side of that where he is going to be absolutely pummeled. Every single little thing that he does is going to be looked at under a microscope, and it's going to suck.
And it sucks because I would probably say the same thing if my dad was LeBron's. Like, I want to be my own person. I don't want to be referred to as LeBron's kid. But people also forget what he dealt with in the offseason, and I wonder if that has any
full-on heart attack.
If that has anything to do with the way he's played. Like, if that didn't happen, could he average 17 a game in college? Who fucking knows? But, he's averaging like 5 points and 2 rebounds and 2 assists, which are not LeBron numbers.
No.
But that's what he's going to be compared against. So I don't know if the heart attack, I don't know if he can even play basketball like for a long time because of that.
Yeah, and what his stock will be now that there is you can't not look at that, No,
and maybe it applies some pressure on him too that his brother, who grew 6 inches in one summer, looks better right now. Playing in high school, looks really good, looks more like his dad, plays more like his dad. I don't know if that's something that the older brother, Bronny, is looking at like, man, shit's not going my way right now. This is tough.
Well, at the one thing I was going to add before we move on to just a couple of ancillary topics, which is, whether or not the Bucks are just taking a little bit of time to mold and gel under this new leadership, similar to the way, like, the first season of LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade with Eric Spoelstra did not start off very well. And then, it took just a little bit of time to get used to everyone, and then they rattled off like 30 straight wins or whatnot. I don't necessarily know that we're looking at that. I was wondering where the Bucks were in terms of their value. I think that before when they were second in the East or the second best record, they were probably around like plus 500 or plus 450. They're now at plus 700. If you're looking at your kind of mid-season numbers or all-star numbers, we have the Celtics at plus 260. This is to win the NBA championship. The Nuggets at plus 475. The Clippers at plus 500. The Bucks at plus 700, Suns plus 1300, and then the Knicks and Timberwolves there at plus 2200. I wish that I could fade teams, and I know that I heard you talking about this at the Super Bowl, just about the Clippers itself, but I just you always look at the Celtics and the Clippers and the expectations, not only preseason, but then you get to this point and you just go, like, God, like, if I could fade teams, if I could bet against these teams, I would love to.
I will never have any faith with the Clippers. I would be willing to bet any amount that the Bucks will not win a championship.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Like, there's no way, like, I would take that bet
right
now. With
this current roster, they will not win a championship. You can't look at, I think it's very naive to think you added another star to Giannis and they're automatically that much better. You took away pieces from the championship Bucks team to do that. And what you did is you took away shooting. Yeah, I'm not saying that Dame's not a great shooter, but you took away shooting and you took away defense. Because the championship team is not usually made up of a bunch of stars. It's made up of great role players, which they've lost since.
Yeah, I don't think Pat Bev is going to fill those defensive holes.
No, you basically need two players on the court to be Drew Holiday at this point.
Yeah.
And that's
you need to have the defense for Bev whenever, you know, Dame Olay's a defender, and then all of a sudden there's Bev to maybe to clean it up. But
that's where I think that's where I lose faith with Milwaukee, and that's where I think I'm not counting out Boston.
Yeah,
because of that. Yeah. Like, Boston has let you down as a favorite the last couple years, but the Drew Holiday addition with defense, that makes them better than when they had Marcus Smart.
I agree. I wholeheartedly think Boston wins this year.
Guys have said this in the past, players especially, about Drew Holiday. And, you know, you've sung the praises of Matt Stafford. You know, we've talked about Jared Goff and how he's, like, kind of resurrected his career. I'm not saying that Drew Holiday has ever resurrected his career, because he's always been very consistent. What he did with the Pelicans, then what he did with the Bucks, now that defensive presence on the Celtics. It will be hilarious if the Celtics end up winning this year because of their way of shipping Dame out, getting Drew Holiday, and then shipping him to be the Dame stopper or whomever in that deal.
Which could happen.
Which could very well happen. Savage deal if we look back at it.
That would be funny if Milwaukee gets that far. I don't think Milwaukee even gets that far.
Right, but just to see, even if the Celtics aren't the one to knock out the Bucks, if you look at how that whole summer deal went, for the Bucks to say, this is our answer, this is our championship thing, they go, well, actually, you need to figure out what the other guys are going to do in playing chess and not checkers here.
Yeah.
I don't want Boston to add another banner for Kobe's sake.
Yeah.
But I would like to see Jason Tatum get a championship. I think that would be fucking great.
And to be honest, I mean, I'd love to see Dame get a ring. I think that would be cool as a Portland fan to, because, you know, I think if you're a Blazers fan, you still have love for Dame. The reason he left is to get a ring. And for him to accomplish that, you know, tip of the cap. But my money's on Boston.
I think the only thing, which shows an all-star weekend, the only thing Dame's accomplishing is padding up his individual stats. I don't think he's going to win a ring. But being able to not be overshadowed by somebody like Steph Curry in one side of the conference and win the all-star MVP, be a starter, you know, and do all that, I think that's about as good as it gets outside of what he's done. Unless he goes to a team that's just, like, ready to win that fucking ring and he's just another added piece. I don't see this Milwaukee roster doing it.
Yeah.
No chance.
Before we get out of here, a couple of news and notes within the NFL. I saw that Russell Wilson has put his house up for sale, the one with all those toilets. He's likely because he expects to get cut here when the NFL official league year begins. You know, he has to be cut by day five in order for that money to not be guaranteed. I can't remember. Maybe it's like $27 million guaranteed, something to that effect. So it looks like the Russell Wilson era is over already in Denver. And the second thing that I saw, there was this whole thing. The St. Brown brothers have a podcast, Amon-Ra and Equanimeous. Yeah, you know, they've got a podcast during the offseason, and they were talking with Justin Fields. Justin Fields drumming up all of this controversy by unfollowing the Bears. And then
he answered that, though, right?
He did, yeah. And they were making fun of it. He was just being like, I don't want to see all of this NFL stuff. I unfollowed the NFL too, which I guess is kind of convenient there. But I mean, like, I looked this up today. Like, he follows 777 people. He still follows Barstool, and he still follows Bleacher Report, so he's still going to see all of that stuff, and then he follows all of these other players too. It's like, if you just don't want to see it, don't go on social media. I guess that's kind of the solution there. Then all of a sudden you're drumming up all this stuff. You have to answer the questions. You have to say, oh, it's nothing, but it's something. You know that.
Interesting thing with the NFL, I saw 4 mock drafts today, and the draft is coming up, what, in 2 months?
April.
Yeah, end of April.
I saw 4 mock drafts today. Just the first round, first 32 picks. No Bo Nix and no Michael Penix Jr. in the first round.
Interesting. I know that the Bo Nix one,
the only quarterbacks were Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May.
Yeah.
That are all going like top 5. No Penix Jr. and no Bo Nix. That was surprising.
Time will tell.
And, you know, again, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks who in, you know, mid rounds perform very well. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I thought that I had something to add within that.
Well, leading up to March Madness, number one team lost last night.
Was that UConn?
UConn lost by like 20 points to Creighton.
You see that?
That's big time.
You see that Hurley
Creighton
was
Barrel?
Yeah.
Threatening to fight a college fan or something like that, saying he's going to punch him in the face or whatnot.
Don't fuck with you should know better than to fuck with the Hurley brothers. Yeah. You think those guys are going to not
take
off their tie?
He actually will punch you in the face. They'll do that.
But yeah, UConn losing to Creighton Blue Jays was a shock.
It's the perfect time to lose, though. You know, right around now.
It gives you a sense of March Madness.
You still in on Purdue?
No.
It's been a week. It's been a week.
I did say the two teams that were looking good were UConn and Purdue. But if you look at the 10 teams below them, if they beat them, you wouldn't be shocked. And the two that I mentioned, which were UConn and Purdue, showed some very vulnerable games this week.
So as of this week, who do you think's winning?
Duke.
Yeah, I'm going to go Duke.
What are they ranked?
7th right now, but they just won by 30 tonight, so they'll move up.
They'll be all right.
Duke has North Carolina at home in 2 weeks. That's big. Carolina's dropping too.
I was going to say, should we go to B-dubs, but I'll be in Italy.
You will go to B-dubs, and we'll send you photos. Yeah,
you'll be in Italy.
Oh, I'll be so jealous.
Yeah, you know what we'll do? We'll...
someone in the fucking Amalfi Coast just see... Or you guys are Buffalo Wild Wings. I'd rather be there.
Yeah, you know what we'll do? We'll go to Never Ending Pasta, and we'll fucking Lady in the Tramp some of that shit, and we'll send it to you. Be like, are you being this romantic in Italy?
Doubtful.
Because we're at Olive Garden right now, eating Never Ending Pasta. Because
when you're here...
You're making out with your bros.
Just between you and me, I didn't agree to this.
You had a lot of involvement in this scenario.
Yeah, no shit.
Listen, if you're not making out with your bros, what are you doing? What?
You're just being normal.
Just being normal.
You're probably a he, him, his.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so final thing. I sent you this, Braxton, which was a... Fuck, Mary, Kill. It was not a fuck, Mary, Kill, but it was a bench cut start. It is an Oregon quarterbacks edition.
Oh, I saw that. That shit's tough.
Bench start. Bo Nix, Marcus Mariota, Justin Herbert. Cut, bench, start.
Can I, before he answers, because Can I just go first because I hate Oregon?
Sure.
If you even have to take a half a second to tell me who you're going to start out of those three, you're a fucking idiot. There is a
start is the easiest.
Yeah.
So we're all on board that it's Marcus Mariota and the other two are not even close.
Yes.
Okay.
That the start is the easiest part of it. It's the bench and the cut that are difficult.
I'm cutting Bo. Sorry, Bo. Maybe it's like an old school, new school thing. It's like a legacy.
No, there's an affinity that people have with Herbert the same way.
But I looked up and I was like, so what was Herbert's biggest accomplishment in his career?
In the college?
Yeah.
Winning the Rose Bowl.
Won a Rose Bowl.
That's the biggest thing he did in college. Won a Rose Bowl.
Do you think that like
but he was never in the playoffs?
But he had Mark Helfrich, Willie Taggart, and Mario Cristobal as his guy, and he somehow overcame that and still won those games, which is great.
Yeah, I think it's so close to me, but I think I would bench Herb and cut Bo. And honestly,
and we would kill Joey Harrington. He wasn't part of it, but you just killed Joey Harrington. He didn't come on the
All pod. It comes down to is Auburn. The fact that, like, if Bo played his whole career with Oregon like Herbert did, then I think I'd probably go the other way. But
as much as I dislike Joey Harrington for turning us down, I think Joey Harrington goes above Bo and Herbert.
You do.
For what he did at Oregon.
I mean, yeah. If we're being honest,
he's
all
in the
jokes
Mount Rushmore
aside,
of Oregon quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. Joey Harrington is definitely Mount Rushmore of Oregon.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know.
But he's
all
a
jokes
fucker.
Aside, yeah, but you didn't come on the pod, so we have to hate you. I yelled at him one time. I think I've told you that. He was looking for headphones, and I was all frustrated trying to get someone. This was when I was in radio, and I was trying to get, I was doing a contest. Or I was trying to get a guest on, and then Joey was in studio, but he needed headphones. And then, you know, Chad was talking to me, trying to, you know, figure stuff out through his little, like, you know, talk back sort of thing. And then someone goes, hey, Peter. And I go, what the fuck do you want? And then it was Joey Harrington just right there, just the nicest guy in the world, being like, can I have headphones?
Yeah, he's not that nice.
Yeah.
He ain't that nice.
He was nice.
We're definitely off of football, but I thought, I don't know if this was a Barstool thing. I thought, and it always goes back to beating this dead horse of an argument because it still doesn't make sense to me. It'll never make sense to me because it'll continue to keep happening. This affinity that people have for Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. This guy presented a question to a guest or someone on his podcast that said, who do you take right now? Do you take CJ Stroud or Justin Herbert? And the guy was like, it's a stupid fucking question. CJ Stroud. It's not even close. He's already done more than what Justin Herbert has done in the league the entire time he's been there. That is the only thing I've been fucking saying. It has nothing to do with CJ Stroud, but they are trying so hard to make these two guys the face of the league, and they constantly let you down. And you could blame it on the coaching staff or not having this, but CJ Stroud did it.
With a defensive-minded coach.
And then you can go deeper and say, but he had Tank Dell. He had Nico Robinson. Did you know those guys before CJ Stroud got there? You didn't. You didn't know them.
I'll tell you what.
They were rookies.
I think Josh Allen is a harder choice to make. I would take Josh Allen over CJ Stroud. But I'll tell you what, if Justin Herbert cannot put something together with Harbaugh.
Yeah. He's hurt again.
I just think it's crazy. I'm not putting that much weight into power rankings, quarterback power rankings, but every single one that I see just blows my fucking mind. I know that Lamar Jackson has let you down in the playoffs. 2-4 playoff record. Terrible, right?
He is the Doc Rivers of...
But you're talking about a two-time MVP that's 27, 28 years old that's gone to the playoffs and have lost. He still ranks below Allen and Herbert in every quarterback power ranking. How? How is that the case?
I think it's easy to argue Allen again, but Herbert, that doesn't make sense.
I don't think both make sense, but again... I'll save that for September. It'll just always bother me.
Tune
in. Tune in September.
All right, clear eyes.
Fart!
Can't lose.
But also, like, tune in next week.